Hey, Outpost fans. Welcome back to the Outpost After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking Episode 8, Beyond the Wall. We'll be talking about Garrett's infection, this love square, and Essa makes an entrance. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Outpost After Show. As always, I am Veronica, and to my left, I am joined by...
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina Wahab.
And, of course, I'm Tehran, a T-Mobile user, so thank you so much
for tuning in. Yeah, to make that known to everyone out there. Coming up later in the show, we'll be talking all about Janzo's comedic moments, Garrett's infection, all of the love connections, as well as some special fan shoutouts. But before we get into any of that... Mina, Tehran, what did you guys think about this episode?
I loved it. It got way darker, way better. Things are finally gearing up for the finale where there's so much intensity here. Mm-hmm. So much going on.
Well, I felt like it was very interesting to watch Talon and her interactions with Garrett and Janzo and seeing what's beyond the outpost. And the ending was quite shocking. The ending was quite shocking, and I really enjoyed not watching a T-Mobile commercial.
Yeah. Mina, it's funny you say that it got a lot darker, and in some respects, I totally get that, but I think for me, I just couldn't take my eyes off Janzo this episode, who for me made it so comedic just with his jabs at Garrett and everyone else. So to me, it felt a little bit more comedic this time around, but maybe that's just...
Yeah, it was a lot more serious.
There were parts of that, but it felt, to me, it felt like a little more serious.
I mean, a darker side of Janzo.
I love that Janzo was Little Spoon, though. That was my favorite part.
And that actually was my least favorite part. It was the most, it was so demeaning to Janzo, like emasculating. He took what he could get.
He's feminine energy, and Talon is masculine energy.
Is he? Because the way he slapped that mirror when he was talking to the mistress, the way he poured acid on a Grayskin's head, I think we need to get right into things.
You don't think that's feminine energy at all? No.
Let's start off right away with the mistress and Janzo, this opening scene, because I feel like this was kind of the scene that made Janzo be a little bit more... I don't think angry is the right word here, but a little bit more...
He's all grown up now. My little boy has grown up.
Exactly. Her line of, like, the boy's grown up now, which I found interesting because I felt like she was testing him to kind of be more adult, to not get taken for granted, to not let people walk all over him.
I don't think she was testing him. She's always treated him that way, and it's the first time she's ever seen him... step up to the plate and say, no, like, I'm not going to be treated this way. You teach people how to treat you. The way you act teaches people how they can treat you and what they can get away with. And that's where he drew the line. And he's like, have someone else do it. And I think that's when she finally had respect for her son. Like, she was proud of him. Like, yeah, stand up to me. No one likes someone who's a pushover that they can control.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you think the mistress would really like it, Mina, if Janzo was actually standing up to her?
I think she'd be impressed.
I didn't say that she would like it. I just said that, you know, it's like a run for her money. Like, wow, I'm very impressed. I'm proud of my boy. But obviously, she wouldn't like it. She would just be proud of him. But she wants what she wants. And he's the pawn to get whatever it is that she wants. She can use someone else. She just doesn't have anyone else yet in mind because he has been the consistent pawn that she's kind of, like, brought into this world. Like, that she's...
Interesting. You know, I think it's more of a legacy thing where the mistress does want an heir, wants a partner, wants a underling that she can rely on, and a deeper, darker Janzo might be that mercenary brain that she needs to carry on her personal element, which she, despite being able to do so legally, enjoys the murk of criminality. And she felt a deeper, darker side of Janzo, and that's what I thought came out. It wasn't just, oh, I respect you because you're standing up to me. It's the way he stood up to her, because he's attempted to stand up to her before, and she wasn't having it. Mm-hmm. It was with the might, the force, the alpha energy he finally portrayed.
That's interesting.
I feel like she was impressed with him, so long as he never oversteps and, like...
I 100% agree with that. Yeah,
she will be impressed so long as he never, you know...
Stand up to me, just don't control me.
Goes against her.
Yeah, you're still on the same team here. You're not going to overthrow you know, you're not going to overthrow this whole, like, operation. Like, I'm the one in charge still.
Yeah. And I think it's very impressive considering who her other son, who kind of doesn't do anything, does, you know?
He's just a brute force. Janzo's clearly the brains of the crew, intellect-wise, while the mistress is the cleverness and the competency.
Speaking of the brains, after the scene, Janzo obviously goes down to the basement where he finds Garrett. And, of course, being the brains, it kind of all falls on Janzo for the most part. Everyone's telling him, you need to find a cure. You need to find a cure because Garrett's like, I'm infected by a plagueling. You just need to kill me. But clearly everyone kind of thinks there's some alternate route that there could be a cure or that he has to die. What do you guys think?
I think it's interesting that Janzo also showed backbone in that situation when Gwen was threatening him again and said, well, I can't do it if you're threatening to kill me. Don't put me against a rock in a hard place. Mm-hmm. And you saw much more gusto from Janzo. Janzo's quickly has always been a favorite, but now with this new energy of Janzo, it's becoming a dominating favorite overall. Just pushing the storyline further.
He reminded me of Tyrion a little bit in this episode. Like, he's just not going to sugarcoat things. Mm-hmm. He's going to say it like it is.
No, that's definitely what he was doing, because it's like, oh, you know, I could pour acid down your throat, and everyone's like, well, will that help? Who knows? I don't know.
No,
maybe we'll see.
I think that Janzo has a bit of enviousness when it comes to Garrett and
100%.
The relationship with Talon. Obviously. Something that was explored later, but it's something that's been portrayed throughout the series. Janzo calling Garrett pretty boy, threatening to kill him on numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. Janzo's taking jabs at Garrett, doing little things, knowing that it irks him and therefore is benefiting Janzo and his race for what he sees as competition for Talon's affections.
It's his only way to get that power back, because he is in a position, I mean, I should say Garrett is in a position where he really needs Janzo. Mm-hmm. Who else is going to figure out the cure? Like, Janzo's the only person, I feel like, who has a realistic chance of figuring out a cure. If it's going to be anybody in the outpost, it's going to be Janzo. So, in a way, like, Janzo is leveraging that power over him. And even though he says it's unlikely that we'll find a cure, like, everyone knows if there is one, if one does exist, Janzo is the person. So he can't really, Garrett can't really mess with Janzo anymore. He can't really flex his muscles in the same way.
No, he definitely can't. And I think Janzo obviously loves, I don't want to say loves the fact that Garrett is in this position, but I don't think he's sympathetic for him because finally he's top dog, because Garrett is in such, you know, a painful state. Like, he believes he is going to die regardless if Janzo kills him by putting acid down his throat or if, you know, he makes Talon kill him, which I also thought this was very interesting, because if we look back at Talon from episode one, without even blinking, she'd be like, sure, no problem, I can kill you. But now she's so conflicted with
that.
She's
emotionally invested now. Of course it's easier to kill a stranger than someone you've developed an affinity for.
That's interesting. It's usually the other way around. So when we look at murders, we realize that the vast majority of murders, when people are looking at criminal behavior, isn't by a stranger or even
a
person of color who's just wearing a hoodie. No, you're way more likely to be murdered by someone you know. Way more.
But that's not what I said. I didn't say what's more likely. I'm saying it's easier to kill a stranger. Well, that's the difference. I totally agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying it is easier to kill a stranger. Like, if I was going to show you your mom and some random person, I said, hey, kill one of them, who would you choose?
Well, you don't know my mom. Love you, Mom. Love you, Mom.
Oh, yeah. I loved seeing Talon kind of show her emotion. And I also just found it funny because, like, also in the beginning, Janzo was like, to Garrett, is your heart beating fast? You know, are you sweating? And first, what's like, I was like, it's because Talon's right there and he's on the verge of dying. He's probably going to, like, elude some kind of big sexual tension, you know? That's what I thought.
I don't usually find myself sexual tension, sweating, and heart beating that much faster as if I'm having some type of attack or seizure of some sort. However, he was in a situation where he was afraid. He feels infected. It is hot down there. We find out that the brewing gives off heat. He's also just coming off of getting there and hiding. Oh, never mind. And all the stuff he's taking, he's sweating. Anyone in that situation would sweat.
I completely agree with you. It's so logical why he's sweating, why he's out of breath. I just thought it was funny because in my mind, coincidentally, Talon was there.
Maybe. No, I get that. I definitely think that when you're nervous around someone, or especially with Garrett, I'm in a total agreement with you because I feel like when you're in a position where you can't be the alpha anymore because you're in a position of need, of course it's going to make you nervous. Like, the dynamic has shifted quite a bit where Talon has to have, like, this caretaker role now, or at least she's stepping into that because she cares for Garrett. And Garrett still wants to prove that he is a man, that he can still fight alongside her and protect her. So I just feel like he is still, in a way, like, nervous around her because he's not 100% at his best in terms of his health and his vitality. So I feel, I do think his heart is racing fast.
Or maybe he's just infected
it's
by
both.
A plague link.
It's
maybe
both. It's both.
Or he could have the flu or malaria or whatever else this outpost of disease
has
offers.
But also in that moment, not only is he probably having some kind of feelings for Talon, especially because he thinks his life is ending, he also says, I need to go say goodbye to Gwyn. And the exchange between Talon and Gwyn, I don't know about both of you, but I really love that exchange, especially just because, like, in shows sometimes these days, they tend to sometimes pit female characters against each other. But this was not the case. Like, from the beginning, they were complete opposites, but despite everything that they went through in the last couple of episodes and not really having the chance to, I guess, talk it out, not that I feel like that would be their option or, like, what they would choose to do, I just thought this was such a sweet moment between the two of them, and such a mature moment as well.
And I do think that in general, women try to, you know, show what they have in common with other people. They're always trying to, like, show how they relate to each other. And I liked how Gwyn did it, where she's like, we're not really different, and she came up with all these reasons, like, both our families were murdered, you know, we both have a destiny that includes death in our future. We both have feelings for Garrett, and then she goes on to add, you know, we can figure that out at the end of this. Kind of like, hey, she didn't say, like, stay away. She's like, we'll figure it out together. So she really values her as a friend. And I respect that. I thought it was very, you know, it wasn't the norm of things that we normally see in that type of, like, love triangle. But it was a very refreshing thing to see.
It was such a mature take for her, for Gwyn, to just tell Talon, you know, I can tell you have feelings for this man that I am also in love with, but we're not going to let that get in the way just yet. We got bigger things to deal with. And so I love that that was her mature mature response. What do you think, Taron?
Well, Gwyn's obviously matured very quickly since the knowledge of her queendom has come about. I think that that scene was not unlike the comment that I made on the second episode of Us, where I thought that Gwyn and Talon were very similar, even though they portrayed it differently. Opposite ends of the rainbow, but the same color. There's a kinship between them that existed from the beginning, and they just balance each other out in that manner. And Gwyn put it and placed it and said it perfectly when she expressed it to Talon. I do not think that Gwyn would give up Garrett very lightly. I think if Garrett played his cards right,
he could get both. Is that what you're saying?
I just think hug was there. If someone at home was not expecting a little more than a hug, you're fooling yourself. We were hoping for something. There could have been a spark. And we don't know specifically. Maybe Talon and Gwyn end up together and cut Garrett out altogether. We don't know how it plays in the outpost. But I did like Gwyn saying something. We're both one of the few women at the outpost. And that's true. We haven't seen a lot of women. And it must be a situation where it's being a minority in a situation like that. There is a camaraderie that happens.
You know what else? Good. I love that Gwyn did the exact same thing again to that prisoner.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
that
her manipulation.
I was just like, at this point, that's why I started laughing. I was like, at this point, is this just going to be like a theme that she does whenever she wants to get something? Is it manipulation or is it complete authenticity? Because I interpreted it as authenticity. I just thought it was so funny that, like, a couple scenes after, she was like, you and I, we're not so different, prisoner. we both want revenge. We both have the same end goal. And I was like, yeah. Is she going to go through a list again? But
she's smart. She yeah. would. I, she's very smart. So know what she's doing.
She uses her tools. The way Talon uses her fist, Gwen uses her brain. Mm-hmm. And she can be manipulative. And Talon's a very good fighter. And they're both able capabilities to have in a situation where something dangerous is possibly occurring.
Gwen is playing a giant chess game, and I feel like she's the chess grandmaster at this point.
She's mm-hmm. very smart. I do want to say that I commend Gwen's acting. I've always really liked Jake Garrett's acting. His presence on the show is undeniable. And Jessica Green, Talon's acting has increased, and it's significantly
definitely gotten better.
Much better. She's way more comfortable in the role of Talon. And the writing has increased. In fact, the show has become a large fan favorite, so we're all hoping and rooting for a second season. So if you're out there listening, CW, we are looking for more from the Outpost. Mm-hmm. It has definitely grown on everybody. Mm-hmm. The social media outpouring is significant, and we're all also looking for this. We need to know what happens between Talon, Gwen, and Garrett. We need to know.
Most importantly,
and more importantly, we need to know. We're hoping for Fender. We're hoping for something, but we'll see what happens.
We definitely hope to see what happens. There's also another love connection this episode that we find out about. But before we get into that, Teron has a very special announcement for all of you.
I just want to let the AfterBuzzers all know our network produces aftershows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. That's us. We need your help. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. And let us know you did so in the comments below. We love hearing from you. We'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you, Teron. All right, so this other love connection, we all know from previous episodes that Withers and the Mistress had a sexual relationship, but now we basically find out he cared for her. She chooses his words carefully in that he doesn't say he loves her, but he cares for her. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Such a lie?
Another time I brought this up when they were in bed and he had made a mention and there was a little extra empathic emotional connection from his point of view, if nothing else. And we see it's reciprocated because the mistress is looking out for Withers. She does it through actions, which we see often. Even with Janzo, we see that the mistress is not as able or apt in showing love, but clearly has affection or care for Janzo and her children. She sticks up for them. She stands up for them. And even though she at times demeans them, if someone else did, she would clearly protect them, as we've seen in the past. And that there is a connection between Withers and the mistress, which is an emotional bond, whether they want to admit it full-heartedly or not.
Well, he's definitely looking out for her in this sense, because the mines have all of these tunnels that, I think it was mentioned that she's using it to smuggle in contraband to the outpost. And if he were to escape and use those tunnels, he would put her in danger of getting in trouble with that. And so, obviously, he goes against his freedom to protect her. So, clearly, he loves her. He doesn't just care about her. He loves her. If he says anything else, it's a lie.
Love is so...
Yeah,
it's all about perception.
Yeah, I guess.
There's a love. There's a definite love.
There's a difference between loving someone and being in love with someone, and I feel like people don't understand the difference. You can really love someone and do anything for them and really care about their well-being. That's different than being madly in love with someone. It's just not the same.
So would you guys say he's in love or he just loves her?
I think he loves her.
Just loves her?
That's what I think.
I can agree with that. No, I definitely...
He's still loyal, though. Doesn't mean he can't be loyal.
I agree with that. I think he needs to... He's got a lot going on, but I do agree with both of you that he has a soft spot for her. He cares about her. He loves her. He wants to look out for her, just like she has always looked out for him, in
so
a sense.
Is Jake in love with Gwen or Talon?
Ooh.
I don't think he knows. So how would I know?
I think he knows. I think he's in love with Quinn, but he has a lust for Talon that...
That's a great way to put it.
When you said people don't know the difference between being in love and loving someone, I think they do. What they don't understand is that love and monogamy and only one person, there is no magic wand that flails when you're in love and now you're no longer unattracted to other people. What is this magic wand?
Oh, I don't know. I think we know. I just don't think we should say on air.
I don't think there is. There's no concept of just, hey, I'm only in love with one person. I don't believe so. So
he's an Aquarius, guys. Just to let you know.
What, to be possibly? So you're saying that when you're in love with someone, you are now no longer attracted, you're no longer human?
I didn't say that you're not attracted to
anyone else. So you can't be in love with more than one person at the same time?
You can, but there are people who would close themselves off to even feeling that with anyone else. Like, you can be attracted to other people, but if I'm in love with someone, I'm not going to let it get to the point where I start developing feelings for somebody
else.
That's
a very interesting concept, because even in the quest of humanity, monogamy is a very new concept in our overall perspective of what humanity is. And so while we feel that monogamy is the only way to be, it's clearly not. It's not something that's apt in our brethren or even in the animal kingdom, and it's something that is, it can be a natural instinct, but it can also not be. You can clearly be in love with more than one person at the same time.
You can. I'm not arguing that you can. I'm just saying, I'm speaking from my like personal experience. I would never like
I understand.
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
No one hurt me.
Who hurt you, Mina? let's get to the bottom of that. The host has wandered off the subject.
Please return it once. So, now there we go. So there's a sign of that. Anyway, so yeah, no, this episode really brought it with the, like, this love square between Talon, Gwyn, Garrett, and Janzo. Because, like, during this whole sequence, Talon is finally able to discover that she found where the Book of Names is. And of course, you know, Garrett's like, I'll go with you. He thinks he's going to die anyway, so might as well go with her. But I love how Janzo just finds a way to insert himself into that duo. He does not want them to go off on their own. But he makes a valid point that he's the only one who can transcribe everything.
I felt like Hermione, Harry and Ron. Ron all over again. Like with Ron getting jealous of Harry and Hermione's relationship. So it just, I don't know. It was interesting. I liked seeing the three of them together. It felt like each of them had a specific thing, a specific type of talent, you know, and a way of saving each other. So,
a role to play in this quest.
Yeah, they all had something valuable to bring to the table, and if one was gone, everyone would be gone at that point. Mm-hmm. Everyone helped each other survive.
Yeah. I really, like, in the past, Janzo has always kind of been the one that was very nervous and scared when going outside the outpost and needed protection, whereas Garrett and Talon were very brave and courageous in fights. But this episode, Janzo saved them, and I found it so funny that, you know, Talon and Garrett are kind of knocked out. He pours acid on the Grayskin's head, and he's like, you just took down a Grayskin, but your ankle hurts. Like, you're sad, your ankle hurts. I just thought it was very funny. Again, I felt like I was watching a lot of Janzo, watching out for him. I was very proud of him this episode with just how he was coming in with these comedic moments.
Well, Janzo's done this before. He protected Talon in the last episode. We see Janzo comes out and is the hero often. He's just the unknown hero or the unheralded
one. The unrecognized hero.
But there's no difference. And I liked your analysis that it's kind of a Harry Potter-esque situation with the three friends, compatriots, playing their role. Mm-hmm. And then before that, I was going to actually make a comparison to being in love with two people at the same time, like in Hunger Games. So I see a lot of comparison to a lot of mythology. Mm-hmm. And we got to see a lot more mythology in this episode as well, which I really instinctually like from this series.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's so much tension towards the end of their journey after the whole Grayskin debacle. As Mina pointed out earlier, Janzo was Little Spoon, and he was just taking what he could get because Talon wanted to get back at Garrett. I don't know.
Talon likes them both.
No, Talon.
But we all know that she has feelings for Garrett.
Talon is attracted to Garrett. Talon is not attracted to Janzo, but likes Janzo. There is clearly a situation where she has feelings for Janzo. She enjoys him. It's more than platonic, but it's not exactly more than platonic. It's not that much more. It's not.
Yeah. Do you think she could be in love with him? Like, fall for him?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
With Janzo, I do not.
You know why I think so? Because I think attraction can develop later. I don't think you have to instantly be madly, like, attracted to someone when you first see them. Like, there are so many guys where, like, at first I'd be like, no, like, I don't find
repulsed.
This person.
No, I just...
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. There have been times that I've been completely turned off by a person, but once I, like, really get to know the core of who they are, then I'm attracted to them. Or there's, like, an intellectual connection, or there's some sort of chemistry. So I think that with talent, I think that can grow over time. I see a pattern with men where they have to be attracted in the beginning. Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like, you know, and for a lot of women, I think attraction can grow over time. It's not true for everybody, but for me specifically, I can only speak about myself. I definitely think that it can grow with time.
But as that attraction grows, you know what grows on the male side? Resentment. Because the concept is, I did all this, and you, like, if you're Janzo, you did all this, and there was the thing with Garrett first, and now me. And even though I know you like me, but I'll always be worried about Garrett because there was an instant attraction and animalistic. And
that
and
fades.
Talon shows it off in front of Janzo, which I did not think was nice.
I didn't
you
like
know that.
That
Janzo likes
you. Yeah, that was
you.
Wrong.
You know, everyone knows, even Withers and the mistress know, Janzo likes Talon. So, attempting to kiss Garrett in front of Janzo, and then going back to him as if he's
stringing him along.
Exactly, and he's second coming, and it's unbefitting. It's just not fair to Janzo at all. Simply because if you have a stance, take it. And if you don't feel comfortable, she should be able to dictate how she feels and play it along. I don't think it would be okay if a guy was doing that to a girl either. Mm-hmm. It's just not nice.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's hurtful
with what you were saying, Teron. I hope that Talon doesn't continue to string Janzo along. I hope this love square
unless Janzo likes it
sorts
and
itself
then, I don't
out
know.
In a more
it's
positive
fun. It's
light.
Fun to watch.
But let's get to the point that you, Teron, made earlier about the ending, which was pretty shocking. But before we get into that, I just want to take a moment to remind everyone about us on iTunes. Of course, you can always catch us on YouTube, but you can also take us with you on the road on iTunes. So please go rate, review, and subscribe. And just like YouTube, we love seeing your comments. It lets our producers know that you are with our show, that you love this show, and we get to keep doing it. So please definitely go there and listen, rate, review, and subscribe. So this ending. But before we get into this ending, sorry guys, I just want to take a quick moment to recognize Essa, who was introduced like 2 episodes ago and is associated with Dredd. They keep teasing her, but I want them to do something.
Is that the little kid?
No, that's like the girl.
The girl with the curly hair who's eating the raw meat for no reason?
Yeah. I want them to like, they've teased her that she's probably like this great warrior. And I wanted them to do more with her since they introduced her a couple episodes ago. But
Can I say something very quickly about this? I know that the CW people and the producers and everyone on the show watched the show, and there was a critique that I made that there weren't enough people of color on the show. And whether they took the note or not, I know the show was already done, but it's so nice to see different people of different shades on the show more and more as the season goes on. I really want to just let you know that we appreciate it. It's very nice. I feel included. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. I'm sure we all love seeing that. And like you said, Teron, we keep seeing it a little bit more as the series is going on, which is
And it's very
great.
Organic, which is cool.
Yes.
It's an organic progression. It's not, we found the mudbloods, and they're the, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Just a natural progression.
Yep. So. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to her because, again, she looks like such a great character, and I hope we get to learn more about her, at least in the next episode.
She seems amazing.
We have to, and they just keep teasing her, so I really am excited to learn more about her.
And the kid. Is no one else freaked out by this kid?
Yeah,
we not talk about how freaky this kid and her eyes are? If this was my kid, I'd have to be like, what are you doing? I'm calling an exorcist. Something is clearly possessing
well,
you.
Well, she's obviously traumatized by the actions of her father. It's gotta be
that.
Do
you think that that's his daughter?
Yeah. I thought so. Or wait, is that his...
I mean, I
can
see
it's
it.
It's some type of oracle. She's clearly some type of oracle.
Because of her eyes.
Her eyes, and also remember the power of being able to tell if someone's telling the truth, and he consults with her the way one would possibly with a crystal ball or an orb of some sort. She has some magical, mythical quality to her, whether it's just that she knows when someone's lying, so she's some demonic possessed Santa
Claus.
I don't know.
Because you can tell that there is still intense emotion within her. We mm-hmm. saw that at the very end when we saw how she reacted when she saw the stabbing of...
She feels everyone around her. Her eyes change color, too.
Yeah, she's almost like someone who just absorbs other people's emotions and can, like, read people in a very interesting way. Maybe she's a medium. I don't know what she is.
What you said, Mina, speaking about the stabbing of Commander Kalkasar, I actually thought that it was going to be more brutal. At first I thought that the Prime Order was going to go in guns blazing and massacre everyone in search of Talon, who is not there, and they would come back to the outpost and see all the bloodshed. But that's not what happened. It seems like more so they're just taking over at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually interesting. It's a psychological game. If you go in guns blazing, then you're creating an army against you. However, if you do it slowly, you kill one person at a time. No one wants to be the person that stands up to die. So that's how you get everyone in line and in order. It's actually a form of dictatorship to do so, and we see this, unfortunately, politically in the world, mm-hmm. is where you do it slow, and that way it seems like it's a natural progression of things, and everyone just falls in line. It's not so much pain people are as afraid of as the thought of pain.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting point. I totally agree with that, because I think we psych ourselves out more than the actual experience of what's to come.
Not that That's pain what, doesn't hurt.
It does hurt, but it's like
told you
anticipation is always worse than the actual, you know, mm-hmm. presence, product. Yeah. There's so many parallels with Harry Potter. I feel like Voldemort did that Deathly Hallows Part 2, where one by one he was bringing people over from, you know, there's good versus evil, bringing people over one by one. And brings Malfoy over with that awkward embrace, and then slowly, one by one, getting more people. So it's a common theme in these types of shows.
There's definitely a lot that happened this episode, especially because I felt like it gave, you know, a little bit of screen time to every character thus far. Any final thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I think my favorite part about the episode actually happened in the very beginning. I mean, other than the spooning part. That was one of my favorite scenes, but... there was a really interesting, you know, there was interesting commentary made at the very beginning with Jonzo and his mom. And he was basically saying we shouldn't be getting Calypso from the Greyskins when they want to exterminate us. And you just see, like, this interesting, like, huge personality differences between Jonzo and the Mistress, where the Mistress feels like the source doesn't matter, it's the product that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. When Jonzo has, like, I would argue that he has a stronger moral compass, because he doesn't believe in, you know, supporting someone and supporting their product when they're doing bad things in the world or when they're your enemy. And he kind of, like, believes in boycotting that, mm-hmm. in a sense.
That's so interesting. I had the exact opposite sentiment about that. And I'll tell you why, because what I got from that is that the Greyskins aren't who we think and aren't who they are portrayed. We're stereotyping them.
Yeah, they
and
might
there's
not
a
be
prejudice
bad.
Towards the Greyskins that Jonzo has fallen into, and the Mistress is basically being logical and saying, well, we don't really know anything about the Greyskins. We're just doing what we've been told. And we've seen from the Greyskins' behavior that they're not animalistic.
They didn't do anything
creatures
in that situation.
Who we're thinking. Even when the trap is set up with the Greyskins and everyone's like, oh, I can't believe the Greyskins. You're on their territory trying to steal their stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You're in the wrong, no matter even if we feel that you're the heroes of the situation because you're presented to us as the protagonist. But the concept is we don't know what the Greyskins want. We don't know what their motivation is. We don't know how their society is set up. Just because they look different than us doesn't mean they are different than us.
Yeah.
Great thoughts, everyone. All right, guys. As I had mentioned earlier, we love seeing all of your comments, your predictions, your discussions on YouTube and iTunes. And Mina has some fan shout-outs for us tonight.
Yes, I want to give a huge shout-out to Teets McGeets.
Always.
That is an awesome name. Reminds me of Totes McGoats. Orlando Williams, Adam Rodriguez.
Also awesome names.
Daryl Lay, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Keenan Griffin, the writer and creator of The Outpost. Am I saying the name correctly?
I I am not.
I hope so.
We hope so.
I hope so.
Yes.
If it's not Keenan, it's Kynan. And either way, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for creating this. I mean,
and for writing us.
We're all on board now. There's a huge 180 made for
hearing,
the show. So.
Seeing that comment was really, really special. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sure we all agree on that.
And the
that.
Executive producer, Mr. Devlin, also writes us and tweets us, which is really cool.
Oh, so. It's awesome. It's awesome. We love these interactions. All right, guys, we are running short on time, so let's get into some rapid-fire predictions for next week's episode.
Or the next one. Now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
I still think that this new eclipse is going to be the cure for the plaguelings. I think we're going to get more Dread and Essie, since they've kind of been teased in the last couple of episodes, but I think next episode we're going to definitely get a lot more screen time with them, which would be awesome. What do you guys think?
I'm hoping that we learn more about the Greyskins. I'm also hoping we see more of Naya, who I'm clearly totally in love with, who's played by Medallion Rahimi, great actress. And I am also thinking that Gwyn and Withers have a very interesting encounter in which it begins hateful, but then you realize the enemy of your enemy is your friend. And that's how a lot of things are going to align in the next episodes, where the enemy of your enemy becomes your friend.
Yeah, great. It's all about alliances. I'm really interested to see what's going to happen when they all come back and see how the power has shifted. That's going to be the main thing that we see. Starting out the episode, and also whatever is going on with this book of names. Like, this has been teased for so long. Like, where is this book of names? Let's find it. Let's get it. It's been like this constant quest.
I think we do find it. I also think the Greyskins recognize Talon as a Black Blood.
Ooh,
and
you know,
that changes the way they treat her.
Yeah, they probably treat her better because she's a minority.
Like, well, I think she's also part of the enemy of my enemy.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah, she could be she could bridge the gap between two different worlds. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. That's how I'm hoping it works out for Gwyn and Jake, too. Talon just bridges this gap. Go on. Yeah.
Definitely. The last couple episodes, we've gotten a lot of teases with the Book of Names. Again, Dread and Essa. And I think the next two episodes, as it's starting to wrap up a bit, we are going to get so much more of all of that. So it'll be very interesting to watch. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have tonight. Mina Turan, where can the fans find you on social media?
You guys can follow me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic, and please be sure to check out my recent interview from another CW show called All American. It's on fabtv.com.
Well, you can find me at I Am Turan all across the social atmosphere. Also, I'm at the Laugh Factory every Monday, Thursday at 10 p.m. Come check me out, and I want to say Shana Tova to all my Jewish brethren. Happy New Year. 5779.
And I'm Veronica. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V. You can also catch me Wednesdays on the Castle Rock After Show at 7 p.m., as well as Mondays on the Attack on Titan After Show at 8 p.m. Until then, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.